to minute 122 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Lisa Leahy of the Critical Movie Critics and the upcoming Between the Scares podcast. Welcome back to the show, Lisa.
Thanks, Rob. I've missed you.
It's only been 1 day. It's not that long.
We got together so well, and, you know, we clicked, so I missed you in those 24 hours.
Well, I'm glad that you're back. Hopefully our listeners feel the same way.
Yeah.
We'll have to find out. We'll have to wait and find out. So, minute 122 begins with Roger strongly telling Willie to get out of there fast, and goes all the way till we see two prisoners climb up out of the center of the hole and go into the forest.
And these are just like two general guys, right? Like they weren't specific characters, because I was trying to figure it out.
No.
Okay.
They're extras.
That's what I thought.
They're trying to show us that there are more than just the ensemble cast that make it out.
And that makes sense. But, you know, I'm detail oriented, Rob. So I like to make sure, especially when, you know, it's my first time seeing the film. So it was a little challenging juggling all the names, but I'm glad that I didn't miss anybody.
No, not at all. So as we discussed yesterday, we were dealing with the fact that Danny and Willie were stuck in the tunnel, and Roger and Mac were starting to get a little upset because they want to try and get things moving because they're in the middle of the darkness of an air raid, and they can get dozens during this time. Roger began interrogating Willie to try and find out what's going on. Why is Danny stuck in there? Basically, Willie reassures him that Danny's fine and they're going to get out of there. Roger, at this point, barks an order at Willie, get him out of there fast. And they quickly move the trolley back. As we all know, the way that the pulley system works on the trolley, so, you know, Danny actually has to pull it because it's by him. He's not he's in a cramped space. You know, usually you have it in one of these way stations where people are pulling it and they have a little more space and time to do it. He's in a very strange position because he's lying down and he needs to pull it towards him. So he's got to make sure that it doesn't come and hit him in the face.
Right. Well, thank goodness, you know, too, the light, the little, the fat light there, your fat lamp, you know, it was in complete darkness. Poor Danny might have ended up with a broken nose.
Yes. Or a bloody nose. There you go. That would have been worse.
That would not be good. After all those cave-ins, poor man doesn't need a bloody nose on top of it.
Especially when he's about to escape into Nazi-occupied Poland.
True.
Basically, at this point, you know, Danny, I guess, pulls it back. We assume it's Danny who's pulling it back for them. Then we once again get to see Hilt standing outside, or lying prone on the ground outside of the hole, trying to figure out what's going on, because he also wants to get people, and he, you know, screams down, psst.
Yeah.
You know, come on! Get out of there!
Outside the cover of the trees. He came out to help people out of that hole.
Exactly, because it's
darkness. He's constantly in danger. You know?
Completely. But, you know, that's Steve McQueen.
No. Of course.
He wants to put himself in those type of situations.
He keeps him energetic.
Exactly. keeps him young and, you know, and gives him the top billing.
That's it. He's got to earn it.
That's right. Danny pops out of the tunnel on the trolley, and Roger gives him a very strange, stern look and basically screams at him and goes, come on, Danny, move. I love how Danny gets off of the trolley and you see him trip slightly as he's getting off of it.
In that tiny space, too.
Exactly. Yeah, the tiny space where you have these four characters all cramped in there.
All crunched in.
He just slightly trips. I
kind of marveled at the structures underground in this tunnel. Like all the wood that they had scrounged together and how they've created these little bunkers. You know, like these little caverns underneath that, you know, to keep the dirt up and everything. That's, you know, I'm not a digger. I am not somebody who works in these kinds of conditions. So it's fascinating to me to see, you know, this tight space, these four guys in there, constant back and forth, and everything's standing up, which is good. You know, I mean, it's good to not have to worry about that.
Well, they are apparently, they're supposed to be 30 feet down. So they have the room to build these way stations. The idea is, you know, if they've dug 335 feet, so basically, you know, they had way stations along the way, because otherwise, you know, it would be much more difficult to pull one person all the way across. You have, you know, maybe at intervals of 50 feet or 100 feet or whatever it is, and then you have all the way stations along the way where you can actually put more people inside of each of those to hold more POWs to get things moving a little quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, along
Do you
the
think
way.
It was also to help them with some of the claustrophobia? Do you think there's elements of that as well? Like getting into a slightly bigger space, at least for the meantime?
I don't know if it was because of claustrophobia. I think it's just making it easier to move through the tunnel, even when you're digging. Mm-hmm. You know, this way you're digging
too.
And you're putting the dirt in the bucket, and someone pulls the trolley, and they don't have to pull the trolley 300 feet. They pull the trolley 50
that's
feet, and
good
then
point.
It goes into the next one, and the next one, and so on and so forth. So I think that's part of the reason for it. I mean, it's interesting you bring up the claustrophobia aspect, because in the book, they don't really talk too much about the claustrophobia of any of the characters. The whole thing with Danny is a complete fabrication for the movie, which is effective because, you know, it adds a little more tension to the whole aspect of the story.
Definitely.
So it's interesting if that is a reason for, you know, the claustrophobia. I'll have to think about that one.
We'll see.
Willie and Danny come out of the tunnel. Danny comes out first. And I love how he just, like, moves his hat. You know, like, he... First of all, you can see Charles Bronson is completely sweating. You know, he's glad to obviously now be in fresh air, but you can see him glistening. You can sort of see moonlight, but in the lighting from, you know, from the cinematographer. But you can see how much his character... basically was sweating inside.
Really struggling.
Yeah, no question about that. But I love the way that he just, like, moves his hat. Was he doing that to make sure that it's still there? Is he wiping some sweat from his forehead at the same time? You know, like, what is his reasoning for doing that? Or is it just, you know, he's now in fresh air, so he wants to have a little more air show up? Maybe he put the hat on tighter when he was coming out of the tunnel to make sure that it won't fall off, and now he can loosen it a little bit.
That's a good point, too. I like that.
Yeah, you never know. Willie pops out also. And the two of them basically, Willie just pats Hiltz on the shoulder. You don't need to talk between them.
Well, there's that moment with Danny and Hiltz. Like, there's this look. Like, Hiltz stares Danny down and Danny stares back. And when I was first watching the minute out of the context of the film, I was like, oh, these guys have some kind of beef. I was convinced there was some sort of, like, bad blood between them. And when Danny comes out of the hole, Hiltz is just like, dude, what is going on here? And then it's when Willie comes up that moment is kind of broken, you know, tap Hiltz on the shoulder and off they go into the trees. But now that I've actually seen the movie in full, there's nothing.
Right. So maybe he's just starstruck.
Could be. You know, is Hiltz mad?
You're chosen.
He's the queen. This is great. Mutual fan.
We haven't had any scenes together before.
Yeah. That could be. That's a good point. Maybe Hiltz is annoyed at Danny the way Roger is. Like, what's the holdup? Let's go. And, you know, this is the first guy out of the hole. He's like, WTF, guy, what's going on?
Obviously, there is something to that. There's the fact that, you know, Hiltz wants to be able to get out as many as possible. Even though he thinks Roger and Mac are completely nuts that they're trying to get 250 out, you know, he knows he wants to get out as many as possible. I mean,
and he's the one out in the open, so he wants people to come out and let's get going.
Now, I mean, one of the things they never mention in the movie, and, you know, actually I don't think it's even mentioned in the book, because the real escape happened in March, not in August, like they're showing here. But in August, sunset was around 9, and size was, I think, at 4:30, so they didn't have very much time to get out also.
Right.
Again, thankfully, it was in March, so they had a little more night light to be able to get out on that night.
Right.
Even though they had snow on the ground. Like you probably have now outside when you're looking out your window, you know, Rhode Island.
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite time of year, I'll tell you.
So basically, as you said, they have that little staring contest. Willie pops out, and then Willie breaks it by tapping Hiltz on the shoulder, you know, giving him a pat. Thanks for your help. And then the two
job
of them
well
take
done.
Off for the woods together. And again, they're not really crouching when they're running out.
Not at all.
You know. No one is worried that they're going to get caught. And I love the way that the two of them stumble along.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's leg cramps. I mean, they've been underground.
I was just thinking that. I was actually going to bring that point up. I was going to say, you know, here they were stuck in the tunnel. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're dealing with leg cramps. It's possible. That is definitely possible. No question about that. Then we get another shot. And again, we also see the fake leaves that we discussed yesterday.
Those cheesy trees.
Exactly.
And cheesy tree stumps where space has been cleared out, too.
Of course. They have to have
it's
that.
More realistic, Rob.
We get to see Roger and Mac once again back in the tunnel, pulling the rope ferociously, waiting for someone to go up. And one of the guys shows up, and it's just one of the extras. No one that we know. And Roger says, up you go, and the guy ascends the ladder. I love the way this one works, because when he comes out of the tunnel, so the first thing he does is put up his valise, or his bag, whatever you want to call it. Hiltz picks it up, and as the guy is coming out of the tunnel, Hiltz grabs him by the sweater, or the shirt, pulls him up,
yep.
And with his other hand, takes the bag and slams it into his stomach.
Yep.
You know, like, looks like he's bullying the guy, basically.
Yeah, he pulled a POW out of his hat, you know, like, shoo, exactly. There you go, off you go.
Yeah, just the way he does it is just very, very funny. And he sends him off. And then as soon as this guy comes out, right away, another guy comes up. You know, he throws up a bag, he pulls him up, also throws his bag into his stomach.
Yep.
Get out of here.
The clog has been cleared now, the flow is moving again.
Exactly. And, you know, Hilt says, give me your bag.
Yep.
You know, he's helping people. And then we hear the air raid sirens go once again.
Right.
And then the lights come back on.
Right.
Then we get a shot of Mac and Roger back in the tunnel. You can see that Mac is playing with the trolley rope.
Mm.
You know, he's holding it in a very strange way that he's trying to pull it. You know, he's not pulling it. He's, like, threading it.
Right.
Threading it through his hands type of thing.
I mean, you wonder that they didn't have more rope burn.
Yes.
It was back and forth with these little dolly carts.
Yeah, I mean, last week we had a whole conversation about where to get all the rope from.
Another good question.
You know.
Not to mention they needed 30 more feet.
Yes. If the tunnel is 30 feet deep, okay, then they would need a little more than 30 feet of rope to go from the trees, cover the 20 feet short, get down all the way down to the bottom and tie it on both
ends. See, I'm not a math teacher. This is good, Rob. You're thinking.
I am not a math teacher either. Math is my worst subject.
Hey, you did this calculation, though. I am thrilled to be with you here.
No, I did the calculation that you're wrong. I couldn't tell you what the correct calculation is.
Somebody right now is yelling at us car. Saying, this is the number.
Yeah, they're saying, there you go. And if you know that number and you didn't tell us last week, please tell us again. What is the correct number? How many feet do you need? It should be a final math quiz. How many feet do you need if the hole is 20 feet from the forest and you have a 30-foot hole and you need to tie a rope around the tree trunk and around the ladder
and
at the bottom.
And there's also enough slack for the little, like, pulling of the rope to signal them. So.
Exactly.
Yep. Not an easy calculation. So you got to add a little bit.
No. But even if it is 50 feet or 60 feet, whatever it is, you know, it doesn't matter to me the exact number, but where did they get 60 feet of rope that, you know, that were not tied together? I mean, that could also be one of the reasons why they had the weigh stations. Maybe maybe the ropes only were 50 feet long,
sure,
or whatever it is. So therefore, you know, they needed to keep it at a point where they don't have to tie a number of ropes together, because then there's more of a chance
that good
something
might
break along the way.
I agree, though.
I don't know. At this point, now that the lights came back on, Hiltz once again screams into the tunnel, which hopefully the guards didn't hear. He basically says, exactly, we're on the rope. And so my question is, you know, from where he's standing or crouching, who's going to hear him better? The guards standing, you know, standing 10, 15 feet away, you know, at the fence, or the people 30 feet
really
down
good,
in the
does
tunnel?
Does he stick his head into the hole?
Yeah.
He just
really
kind of shouts into it.
No.
Yeah, no, that he would have been heard, not to mention, my goodness.
Yeah, I think so. He rushes back to the trees. Again, he's actually one of the few characters that actually crouches. I mean, he's not crouching really low, but he's still crouching. You know, and I like that he picks up the rope and you know, feels the rope all the way. You know, again, you're talking about rope burn. He should have rope burn at this point also.
Maybe he's blinded by the lights. He couldn't see. He needs the lead back to the tree.
could be. And then he gets behind the fake tree, sort of pulls one of the, you know, pulls on the rope, and then Nimmo comes out. He's one of the guys that we actually do know who he is. So you asked at the beginning of the minute if it was someone that we know, and I said it wasn't, but I was apparently it's the two guys in the middle of this minute who we don't know. But this one we know. This is Nimmo. He was Diversions. He's part of Diversions. Nimmo and Haynes together are Diversions.
We don't need those two now.
Yeah. So Nimmo comes out. He lifts himself up pretty well. Also,
he doesn't need the sweater.
Yeah, he doesn't need Hiltz's help. And we get to see him actually with his footing, trying to, you know, when he comes out of the hole, which is pretty nice to see also, instead of just seeing the top half, and you get to see, you know, the bottom half of how he gets out of the hole also. And then he runs out over to where Hiltz is hiding, crouches down, waiting for someone to show up. And actually, that's Haynes who shows up. So, again, we have these two characters who work together in Divergence, who later in the movie we will see them together also when they're traveling on the train, sitting across from one another. But again, this is another example, as we were discussing yesterday, the fact that there are characters that are paired together very well. Or actually, that was later. It was earlier today. I don't remember. Yesterday, today, we're discussing pairs, you know. Then Haynes and Nimmo get up and turn towards the woods. And that's how the minute ends. So, you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
I don't. This was a pretty straightforward minute.
Nothing straightforward, but yeah. All right, so you...
Straight up the rope, straight across to the trees.
There you go. And try not to get hit in the stomach with your bag along the way.
With your bag, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Well, you can find me in the Rabbit Hole Productions website, where we post episodes of Between the Scares. And you can also listen out for me and my brother as we discuss some random movies and some movies off our list of Zoom on the Sib List. That's SIBLIST. And you can listen to some sibling rivalry and as we pick at each other's opinions about films.
Cool. Sounds like fun. Everyone should go there. While you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that you might be using to listen to this show. You can follow us on Twitter, Great Escape MXM. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler, and our email address is thegreatminute@gmail.com. Lisa, you want to come back in tomorrow?
I would love that. Thank you.
All right. Sounds like fun. So, until tomorrow, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.